This is In Focus, the weekly public affairs program from KTBB and the Team Sports Radio, featuring members of the local community working to make East Texas a better place.
And a good morning. Welcome to In Focus. I'm Roger Gray. Good to have you with us. And our guest today is Tim Butler. He's Chief Development Officer at the East Texas Food Bank. Good morning.
Morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Good to have you with us.
Happy to be here.
Let's start with your event held in Longview, the Empty Bowls. What's that all about?
Yeah, so we have a signature event in two of our biggest markets. So the East Texas Food Bank serves 26 counties here in Northeast Texas. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't know that. So our signature event is called Empty Bowls.
Okay.
And basically, the goal there is for us to raise awareness of the food insecure individuals that live in East Texas every day. You know, 1 in 6 adults are at risk of hunger, 1 in 4 children. Mm-hmm. 25% of the kids that we see every single day don't necessarily know where their food's coming from. So we have these two big events called Empty Bowls in our two biggest markets, Longview and Tyler. So Longview was held in January, and it was incredibly successful. Do you remember Taste of Tyler?
Yeah, I do.
So it's similar to that. So we get some of the best restaurants in town, and they come out and offer really hearty. They were a lot of food. Hearty servings from their menu, so people can come in, participate. We have beer and wine available, and then raffle tickets on auction. Just a fun night overall.
Okay. Does this replace the Taste of Tyler?
I'm not sure if it officially will replace it. I just know Taste of Tyler hasn't come back in probably, I guess, 4 or 5 years, maybe even a little bit longer.
Okay.
So, and there used to be a Taste of Longview as well that was put on by the Pilot Club and the East Texas Restaurant Association. Okay. They might come back, but we're happy to do this event alongside. Okay. I mean, people love eating.
It's kind of the same thing, I gather, then. So it's different restaurants and
exactly. Yeah. So same setup. It's a little bit more of an intimate event.
Okay.
So you can buy a ticket for $50, participate, get food from 16 different restaurants, and then the alcohol portion is there, and it's just a fun time.
Wow. Where can you eat 16 places at once? I mean, how often does that happen?
It's a win-win.
Let's talk about the East Texas Food Bank. How long has it been here, first of all? Give me a little of your history there.
Yeah, for sure. So the East Texas Food Bank has been an official standalone food bank since 1988.
Okay.
So we're closing in on our 40th anniversary. It's coming up pretty quick.
I'm an old guy. You say that like it's a long time ago. But no, go ahead.
That's right. It was good. Were you in Tyler at the time?
No, I was in Tyler, about 15 years ago.
Okay.
Worked here, as a matter of fact.
So I am actually more Tyler than you now. I've been here for 24 years.
Okay. Yeah. I'm really a Houston guy, but there you go.
Well, welcome to town. 15 years late. So the food bank started in as a kind of a sister food bank or a redistribution center for the North Texas Food Bank, which is in Dallas.
Okay.
So essentially they weren't a standalone organization. They were just kind of a feeder system to help East Texas.
An affiliate.
Affiliate. Yeah. Good way to put it. But the need in East Texas is so great. Mm-hmm. We had a founding committee, people like Bruce Brookshire back in the day, or Isidore Roos. Mm-hmm. You see a lot of these names that help with nonprofits back then.
Right.
They put together a committee to start the East Texas Food Bank.
Okay.
And so in 1988, the East Texas Food Bank formally existed to serve, at the time, 12 counties in East Texas.
Wow.
So it's just grown to 26 since then. So I started the food bank in 2012.
Okay.
And I think we distributed about 15 million meals at the time. This past year, we distributed over 31 million meals.
In 1 year.
In 1 year. It's incredible.
Wow.
And so what the heck does that mean? What is 31 million meals?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the equivalent of 456 trucks full of food leaving our facility throughout the year. So a truck and a half a day, something around there.
That's incredible, but it also speaks to the incredible need that is out there. Let's expand on what you said earlier about, what is it, 1 in 6?
Yeah, 1 in 6. You got it.
Yeah.
We're a member of Feeding America, which is the largest food bank network in the nation.
I've talked to them, as a matter of fact, on this show.
Oh, great. Yeah. Awesome organization. Every county in America is covered by a Feeding America food bank.
Okay.
It's not the only network, but it's the largest. So they put together a study called Map the Meal Gap.
Mm-hmm.
And that basically just kind of put in layman's term. I don't want to bore you or your audience.
All right. No.
It looks at cost of living for each county.
Mm-hmm.
And then the shortfall of meals based on income and cost of living.
Okay.
So we're looking at 26 counties. I mean, we have some counties like Smith or Gregg or Bowie County that are missing millions of meals.
Okay.
There are thousands of people that are hungry. So when you talk about the need in East Texas, 1 in 6 individuals are at risk of hunger based on this study. And so at risk of hunger isn't necessarily I have no food ever.
Yeah.
It's not homeless. It's not I don't have a home, but it could
be. But you're not sure where your next meal's coming from.
Yeah. So it could be
or when.
You got it, exactly. So it could be a senior run out of their Social Security check at the end of the month and they need to find some food for the last week or the last 3 or 4 days. Could be a child that really relies on national school lunch. So during the summer, where do they get that breakfast and lunch? That kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a pretty big need.
Oh, yeah. And as you say, in the summer, they don't get that school lunch and so forth. And given what's going on, cutting of programs and so forth, your services may be even more in demand.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, we don't know what's happening with the Department of Ag and AID and all that. Yeah,
a lot of unknown. We've been serving people under Democratic presidents, Republican presidents.
Oh, sure.
It's just there's always a wave of change when someone new takes office. But, I mean, we're dedicated to serving hungry people, and we truly think that's a bipartisan perspective.
Oh, of course.
Get people food. You know, like, we truly believe that.
Democrats and Republicans both get hungry. Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, we both, everybody has to eat. What kind of programs do you guys offer? I mean, I think we've all seen, I mean, my gosh, I've been a reporter on TV and radio both, and, you know, we always film the people in line, going by the food bank, getting a bag of food and that sort of thing. How does it actually work day to day?
So that's a great question, because a lot of people don't really know the difference between about a food bank or a food pantry.
Yeah.
So a food bank essentially is us just combining food resources and then distributing it out to partners. So historically, food banking is just a warehouse. If you're hungry, you wouldn't go to the food bank. You go to the food pantry like PATH.
Everyone
knows PATH here in town, or Salvation Army.
Right.
Those are our food pantry partners.
Okay.
So we have 110,000 square foot warehouse just on west side of town near Sam's, and we get tons of retail store donations. We purchase some food. We have commodities that come in, and we store it there. And then we'll send it out in our trucks to our partner agencies.
Okay.
80% of the food that we distribute.
So don't go to that warehouse for a jar of peanut butter. Yeah.
Well, I'll get to that later.
Oh,
but
historically,
no, you're right. You'll show up and it'll just be a big warehouse. You won't know what the heck to do. So our biggest program, you asked about that, is our food pantry program.
Okay.
And we have 131 food pantries across that service area I was talking about. Some of them are really big, like PATH or like Salvation Army. We have a really big one in Longview called Longview Community Ministries, or a really big one in Lufkin called Christian Information Services Center.
Okay.
But the majority of them are small churches or just community organizations that want to feed their neighbors.
Yeah,
I mean, we have a couple in Wood County that just started a food pantry and are just, you know, they were lucky enough to have a little bit of money when they retired.
So it can be religious or non-religious. It doesn't matter what the organization is.
Absolutely. Yeah. So they're all separate 501c3 nonprofits.
Right.
Every single one of them. So they get food from us and then they distribute it to their hungry neighbors. About 65% of the food that we distribute is through our food pantry partners.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you go to the pantry are there standardized requirements or are they all different?
Yeah, so it is standardized. Mm-hmm. So it's a income-based program.
Right.
So it's not to get too inside baseball on you, but it's based on a
we
federal.
Have time.
Okay, yeah, good. So there's a federal poverty line that is set every year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about $15,000 a year for a household of one.
Yeah.
Now, a pantry, you can qualify for pantry assistance if you're at 185% of that poverty line. So it's actually higher. So I think it's about,
you're up
I don't
into
know the
30.
Math.
Yeah, you're up into the 30.
Yeah, 25, something like that. So if you're a single household making whatever that range is, you can come to a food pantry.
Okay.
And so that's a declaration of your income. You're considered in need by the government.
Do you just state what your income is? Do you have to bring proof? Or
it's
what?
A verbal declaration.
Oh, okay.
So, and that's a state of Texas decision, which actually we appreciate because it eliminates barriers to people that need food, you know?
Well, and a lot of paperwork for you as well.
That's right. True. Yeah.
You know,
they're probably avoiding
you'd have
that.
To hire more people.
But they come and they can get food, and we have 131 food pantries across our service area. So there's one close to pretty much everybody.
Wow. And what can you get there? I assume most of the donations come from the Brookshires of the world, the Krogers of the world, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Where do you get the food?
Man, wonderful question. This is a good interview, Roger. You've done this before. So we get, like I said, we distributed about 36 to 37 million pounds of food last year. 8 million of them, approximately, maybe a little bit more. This is me kind of shooting from the hip a little bit, but you'll get an idea. Are retail store donations. So that does come from Brookshire's, Walmart, Kroger, Target. There's a lot of them. I don't want to miss any. But all across our service area, they'll donate food. Now, another pretty significant portion of the food we distribute are federal commodities. So that's, you remember growing up, people saying like government cheese?
Oh, yeah.
Literal government cheese. We get cheese to distribute. It's a thing that exists.
All right.
Or, so essentially, we'll get surplus agricultural product from farmers and ranchers across the country, and then they'll get paid for that so that they don't lose money and they could keep going. And then that, that product is given to food banks.
Okay.
So we get a lot of that stuff. So we're talking about pistachios, lean meats. It all has, they all have really like a pretty strict dietary requirements. So we're not getting like high fat hamburger or anything like that. Chicken, that kind of thing.
All right.
So that's another significant portion of the food that we distribute. And then probably about 20 to 30% is purchased food.
Okay.
So we actually buy this food from co-ops or Feeding America.
It's
much cheaper than us going to retail or Sam's or something like that. So we get, we can get peanut butter for 40 cents a jar or something if we get it through there. So we have purchased food, we have donated food, and then we have commodities. That's probably the three biggest sources that we get food from.
Yeah, it's interesting. I saw a streaming documentary on CBS about hunger in America and all of that. We waste so much food in this country. The kind of the star of the documentary was a woman who owns a restaurant, and she takes the stuff that they weren't going to do, that they were going to throw into the trash, and she cooks it up and makes an, another nice meal out of it. And they, now that was for the homeless, but
I love that.
It was a real demonstration of stuff that would have gone in the dumpster. That is now going to be recycled before it gets too old.
I love that so much, especially for the hot meals in the restaurants. Oh my gosh, talk about a vulnerable population, homeless population. So we have another organization in town. We don't do a whole lot of restaurant rescue just because we don't have the facilities for it. But Food Finders Smith County does. And they'll actually, they have volunteers that go to restaurants and pick up the food and take it directly to soup kitchen so they can keep that hot or cold chain, make sure the food's still safe. But I mean, there's lots of versions of food waste.
You hit the end of the night in the restaurant, you know, what are you going to do? There's stuff you, either you cooked up or was ready to cook.
Oh, and there's tons. What about a buffet? Like, what are they doing with all that stuff? We really capitalize on surplus agriculture crop here in Texas. So we actually buy produce from farmers that have too much yield, where historically they would till it under and destroy it because they got to get ready for the next crop, right? So, but now we pay them a pick and pack fee so they can get a little bit of a profit, and then they can give us, man, it's great looking produce too, something like something you buy at the grocery store. And we can give that straight to their neighbors. So we call that Texans feeding Texans, you know, Texan farmers. We're giving them a little bit of money for their crop, and then we're feeding the hungry with it.
That operating your the warehouse you were talking about has to be, frankly, kind of an expensive proposition. I mean, because you're going to have cooling, refrigeration, it's all the rest of it.
We have a over $70 million budget annually. We are a huge nonprofit. I don't know if people necessarily know that. We cover such, the area we cover is 20,000 square miles. It's about the size of West Virginia. We have a fleet of trucks. We just built a new 10,000 square foot produce distribution center. We have a five-story freezer. It's a huge operation. We have 90 staff members right over there. So it's really awesome to be a part of. But
how
how
do you pay for it?
Where
does the money come from?
That's my job. I'm the chief development officer, so I'm fundraising, marketing, communications. But you know, honestly, we operate at the goodwill of the public. We really do rely on individuals that donate, corporations that donate, foundations are so supportive of us, us to organizations like the Women's Fund, United Way, like all of that. It really does take a community.
As you said, it doesn't matter what part of the country, what the politics of that part of the country are, feeding people is a bipartisan concern, you know?
I completely. I mean, there are food banks in Seattle and San Francisco, and the community comes together and serves them. And there are some here in East Texas and Alabama, and, you know, like, it doesn't really matter. I think we all want to see our neighbors fed.
People, as we said, people are hungry in red states and blue states.
Absolutely.
So since 1988, this growth has it sounds like it's been, you know, just huge.
Yeah.
Your operation.
Yeah. And, you know, you think about, I think when Feeding America first started back in the 80s, the CEO of the Houston Food Bank, his name's Brian Green. Mm-hmm. He's been with food banking essentially since it started.
I think I know the name, as a matter of fact.
He's a great guy. But he wrote a paper talking about, you know, in the 80s, we said if we were going to distribute this amount of food, then the hunger won't exist in America anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just an interesting kind of light at the end of the tunnel. Well, we've far surpassed that.
Okay.
Way more food than they ever anticipated we would. So you think about, well, what's the social responsibility for the East Texas Food Bank or any food bank?
Am I my brother's keeper? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's, you know, we certainly don't want to perpetuate hunger. And I truly do believe the people that come to a pantry, they don't want to have to do that for every single meal. It's a hard thing to admit that you need help feeding your family or you. You know, our average neighbor that comes to a food pantry only comes about six times a year. So they're not even coming every month.
Yeah.
So we truly do believe that. But we see our role now, one, is feed people. Feed the line. The people that are in line deserve a meal, period. But we also want to give them an introduction to other organizations that can help them kind of rise out of the need of emergency food. So how do we give them economic mobility so they don't have to rely on a pantry anymore?
Okay.
It's not something the food bank does specifically, but there are tons of other organizations that do.
Oh, yeah. So you just talked about PATH. There's so many other groups. They can help you get into school, finish your education. They can get some, you know, get some training. They can help you get, you know, get ready for a job interview, that sort of thing.
Yeah, PAVE here in town, PATH, Bethesda with their awesome healthcare. You know, like we just have so many. So what we're really good at is getting feet in the door. We serve 200,000 households across East Texas every year. But if we educate and have UT Health in the middle of a food pantry and say, hey, let me take your blood pressure real quick while you're waiting in line for the food pantry, or let me get your vision tested. You know, that's exposing people, getting preventative health care, helping them avoid chronic disease related with food insecurity. Or or if PAVE is there and we're signing people up for literacy classes or ESL classes for kids and parents, you know, it's just
learn how to work a computer, for crying out loud.
That's the goal. It's like, I know they don't want to come to the pantry every single day for the rest of their lives.
And most, and I'm guessing the overwhelming majority of people do not. In doing stories over the years about dispelling myths, most of the people getting SNAP benefits, for example, work.
Oh my gosh.
They just don't make much money.
That's,
you know, I mean that's it's not that they're lazy. It's that they just don't make a lot.
Texas has a work requirement. In fact, any able-bodied individual has to work to get SNAP. So it's just, you know, like you said, kind of just rumors or what people think.
Oh, I know.
But there's a, you know, there's some funny things about SNAP. You can. Do you remember what you made in your first minimum wage job?
Oh,
I'm not going to date you, but
I know.
Mine was $5.25.
oh gosh, I go, I mean, I was a freshman in college in '67.
So you think about
it,
like,
was tiny,
but you think, like, when I say there's a $13 job available down the street, you're like, man, that's pretty good. Just because that's how our brains think. Like, I was going to pay $5.25. You can make $13.40 and you're still in the under the poverty line.
Oh, yeah.
You can still go to a food pantry. So it's just, things haven't necessarily changed at the rate they need to. We've all seen the inflation at the store. And it's not something that you and I can necessarily fix, but alone.
Yeah.
But the issue remains the same, as hunger is a symptom of poverty. And if we can help people get out of poverty, they're not going to be hungry anymore.
Well, and let's be honest, there are things we take for granted. There are people in the military, if they have a large enough family, they qualify for SNAP. They qualify for what we used to call food stamps, which seems a real shame.
It's pretty wild to think about. They're out there fighting for our country.
Exactly, exactly. You mentioned, let's talk about inflation. How do you deal with that? It has to be it's not just eggs. It's everything. You know, the aftermath of the pandemic, a lot of buying, a lot of inflation. You know, it forces it that we couldn't necessarily control, but it happened.
Yeah.
And those prices rarely go down once they go up.
Yeah, I don't know if I've personally ever seen them go down.
Really?
But here's what really...
Gas goes up a lot faster than it goes down.
Yeah. Every time.
Every time.
So... what happens when inflation hits at that high degree? My boss and I were actually looking at this the other day. I think we're
averaging about like a 2% inflation on an annual basis. You may actually know more about this than I do. Yeah. But during COVID, it was hitting 9-8%.
Sure. Yeah.
So, and it's not really going back down. Right. So now, obviously, the people that are relying on a food pantry now need it more than ever, mm-hmm. and probably need more food from the mm-hmm. food pantries. But what it's also affecting are the people that were borderline needing it. The person okay. that were like, hey, I may only go to the food pantry once a year, or I'm just sneaking by and not having to go. Right. Well, now they have to go.
Yeah.
Because they're paying 10% hot more on specific groceries.
They were just squeaking by. Yeah.
And guess what? A lot of those people don't qualify for SNAP. So if you make $5 extra dollars a month, you don't qualify for SNAP. Yeah. Inflation goes up 9%. Yeah. Well, now you're making less money than you were even then. Still don't qualify for SNAP.
Because they haven't changed the standards.
Really difficult. And there's stuff, you know, the legislation just changed the vehicle asset test, mm-hmm. which is how valuable can your car be in order for you to qualify for SNAP.
Okay.
So that's good. They're catching up with some stuff because, you know, the value of a car has changed a lot since the 80s.
Oh, yeah, but you have to have a car.
You have to have a car.
Pretty much,
There's some positive change happening there, but with inflation, it's really hard for people to keep up.
Yeah, unless you live in a big city where you can take the bus, you need to have a car in this state anyway.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, but that has to affect you guys as well, the higher prices.
It does. Probably a little bit.
Because you said a lot of it you buy.
Certainly. Mm-hmm. We're definitely spending more on purchased food than we have in the past.
But you're not generally waltzing into a Kroger and buying stuff.
Yeah. And since we buy, that's another good thing.
Don't want to pick on Kroger because it hit everybody.
Great partner of the food bank.
Yeah, I'm sure. Great. Wonderful people.
But we buy a lot from the co-op from Feeding America. And they get there's a pretty big discount when you're buying a million jugs of milk for every yes. food bank. You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. it's hitting us less, but certainly it is. Yeah, you're right.
There's an anecdote that has nothing to do with food. I used to do road tests as well. And there's a wonderful quote from the founder of Honda, old man Honda, when they first put an AM radio standard equipment in the Accord. Back then, it was all an option, if you remember. And they said, how can you afford to do that? He said, you'd be amazed how cheap those radios get when you put them in every car.
Absolutely.
If you buy in bulk.
Supply and demand.
Yeah. So that's how you guys kind of at least deal with the inflation.
Yeah, we're not personally buying a million jugs of milk, but Feeding mm-hmm. America can do that on our behalf. It's a lot cheaper. If you're getting millions of pounds of produce, mm-hmm. it's a lot cheaper than you getting a bag of carrots at the grocery store, right?
Oh, sure.
So, yes.
Well, and you mentioned milk. I know part of the problem food pantries face, because I've talked to those folks too, is perishables. Mm-hmm. It's a little harder to find perishables, you know, meat, a turkey, that sort of thing.
For sure. And that's one of the reasons that the food bank exists, is mm-hmm. to be able to hold those items for food pantries. Because if you're just working at a community organization that has a food pantry, I'm guessing you don't have a walk-in fridge or freezer.
Yeah, probably.
So that's why, like, they can come pick up food from us. We do have a good opportunity to have frozen meats. Mm-hmm. Milk is difficult just because the shelf stable or the date is so short.
Right.
But we do get a fair share donated from Highland Oak Farms. They're very generous.
Oh, okay.
But we do have shelf-stable milk as well. I don't know if you've ever been over to Europe, but that's basically all they drink over there.
I've been to Europe, but I didn't know about shelf-stable milk.
Yeah.
What is that?
So it's just boxed milk that you can put on your shelf. Doesn't have to be kept cold. When you open it, you keep it cold.
Well, yeah.
But after, it's not bad.
Like Velveeta, yeah.
It's kind of freaky, but
that is, I've never heard of that.
We got a bunch of that, so that's super helpful.
Do you know? I don't even know how they would make that.
You know, they have a branding problem. Mm-hmm. They say it's through ultra-pasteurized process, and that does not sound great. You know, they just need to say something else.
Sounds like it tastes like water.
It's really not bad. Once it gets cold, it's similar taste.
Okay.
I'm a fresh milk guy, but if a pantry doesn't have all that, they can have a good quality shelf-stable milk and give out to people.
Wow.
Yeah.
I was not aware of that. I learned something at my advanced
good stuff,
age.
Yeah.
Do you need people as well as money?
Absolutely. Food Bank runs on volunteers. Mm-hmm. Mentioned we have 90 staff members. That's not nearly enough to accomplish what we need to accomplish. Mm-hmm. We have an awesome volunteer center that can handle groups up to 50, which is it's not super common around here. Right. So if you have a big group that you want to come out, some kind mm-hmm. of social group or just a big group of friends, come on out to the food bank and volunteer. Awesome stuff. We have assembly line project where you can put boxes of food together for seniors. You can do bags of food for kids. Mm-hmm. We buy these
incredible 2,000-pound bags of rice or beans. Right. I mean, they're as tall as me. I'm 6'5". You can't see, but I'm a tall guy. Yeah. So they, when they start, they're really tall, and volunteers can repack them into one-pound bags, and we can sort through retail store donations. You can help at a food pantry. We have an on-site food pantry. I mentioned to you I was going to come back to that. That's a new thing that the East Texas Food Bank has, is we actually opened our own food pantries in Lufkin, Tyler, Longview, and Texarkana. Okay. So now those food pantry partners, we actually kind of put our money where our mouth is, half staff out there assisting the community and serving directly.
Okay.
So that's an opportunity in all of those communities to volunteer with the East Texas Food
Bank. So it's pretty hard to live someplace, at least in this neck of the woods, and not be able to find a food pantry.
Yeah, and they're kind of everywhere. East Texas food, or East Texas is rural, so sometimes it might be a 15-minute drive or something, but they're all over the place. If you go to our website, it's easttexasfoodbank.org.
Okay.
There's a yellow button at the top right. It says Find Food, and you can see all of our food pantries there. If you're in need or you guys know anybody in need, send them that way. It's, it's really convenient to find what's nearby.
Okay. You mentioned your Tyler event for the open bowls.
Yeah, Tyler Empty Bowls.
Empty Bowls.
January 27th. And we have some wonderful sponsorships. Hall.
You mean March? No.
February. What day did I say?
You said January.
You're right. February 27th.
I was going to say, I missed it.
February 27th. Hall family of car dealerships is the presenting sponsor. Hibbs Hallmark Insurance is another sponsor as well. So they make it all possible. And that's coming around every February in Tyler and every January in Longview.
Okay. All right. Is that the only big fundraising thing you have going during the year?
Those are probably the big signature events, but some things to keep an eye out for. East Texas Giving Day is a big one. Giving Tuesday, which is run by United Way of Smith County. East Texas Giving Day is East Texas Communities for Nonprofits. Hunger Action Month is September, so that's what we always have some stuff going on then.
Okay.
And then, of course, the holidays as well. But, I mean, people are hungry throughout the year, not just December.
Oh, I know. I know. And we in the media are probably guilty as well. We always go to the Christmas feeds for the needy and so forth. But they're needy in July.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I completely understand. You don't want kids to go hungry, or you want parents to be able to afford to buy a couple presents for their children during Christmas. So I totally understand all that.
Yeah.
But, man, if you're hungry in July and you can't turn the AC on because you don't have enough money, that's rough. Yeah. So it's just people are in need all the time.
Well, and there's so many people trying to help out with that. I mentioned in passing Meals on Wheels, that sort of thing.
Yeah, Meals on Wheels is our next-door neighbor, actually, over on Robertson Road.
Do you work with them? Or
so we don't work directly. We're actually pursuing some options to collaborate. But they do great work, too. Like, their stuff, they're feeding seniors, and not only feeding, but they're doing wellness checks. And a ton of homebound seniors in the region that need help, and they're doing a great job there.
Yeah, if you're homebound, even if you have a little money, if you're homebound, it's tough.
Yeah. What's your transportation option then to get to the doctor or to get groceries?
Especially in a small town, a rural town, you know, there's no bus service, that sort of thing.
Yeah, they do great work.
So, again, if people want to get involved,
visit easttexasfoodbank.org, easttexasfoodbank.org, and then just right on the page, there are buttons where you could volunteer, you could donate. We talked about Find Food, so if you or anyone needs to find food, you can click on that.
Okay.
You could participate in a community food drive. There's a lot of cool things you can do.
Yeah. Does it show you what the options are in terms of volunteering, that sort of thing?
Absolutely. So if you click on the – I think it says I want to volunteer. It'll say – it'll have all our options in Tyler, and then it'll also say Lufkin, Tyler – Lufkin, Longview, and Texarkana. And so if you live in those regions, you can volunteer at our food pantry.
Within that general region, is that what you're saying? If you live, you know, Nacogdoches, that sort of thing.
So, yeah, if you live in Atlanta or something, or if you live in Nacogdoches and you wanted to drive to Lufkin, you can volunteer there. But we also have food pantry partners, again, different organizations that might need volunteers. So if you don't have an East Texas Food Bank facility close by, then check out your food pantries. They could probably use some help.
Okay. All right. That's East Texas foodbank.org.
You got
I just want to make sure I got it right.
Yes, sir.
Tim Butler, thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks
good to meet
me.
You, and good work. And, folks, thank you for being with us. We will do this again next week. By the way, go to ktbb.com. You'll see all of our InFocus programs listed there. See you next week.
In Focus is a weekly public affairs program featuring members of the local community working to make East Texas a better place. In Focus is produced by KTBB and the Team Sports Radio. And we thank you for listening. Join us again next week.